Welcome. This is Cliff Oxford, and you're listening live to EA Business Radio. We're here in hot Atlanta today, even though it's now December. Feels kind of warm outside, guys. I'm glad to have here, I think, one of the great success stories in Atlanta, entrepreneurial success, InterDev. And I'm here with the CEO, Gary Nichols, and I'm also here with their head of IT, Neil Matchin. Did I pronounce that correctly?
That's correct.
All right, very good. Welcome, guys, and we're glad to have you here on EA Business Radio. Let's start with Gary. How long has InterDev, I think this is a big part of your story, how long has InterDev been in business?
Probably about five lifetimes in the IT community, and it's over 31 years now here in the metro Atlanta area.
You know, that is so unheard of in the IT business community, is that you have endured all of the ups and downs, and entrepreneurial companies have them, and to be solid as you are today. What's the big secret of 31 years? You know, I had an IT company, and I sold it after 8 years, and I was tired. You know, after 8 years, I must tell you, I was working day and night, and IT, I was just, you know, people ask me, why did you get rid of that great company? I said, you know, I was just tired. How do you not become tired?
Well, there are two customer sets to keep happy. First, the customer, the client themselves, and that's just by providing top-level service and having them first. They're in one sense fairly easy to keep happy and going with that. Just take care of them and stay ahead of the technology curve. The other customer that we have to take care of is the employee, and that's a challenge in technology. But what we discovered early on is that our techs just eat up knowledge left and right. Just keep them. There's something new every day in technology, and it's easy to keep happy employees as long as you give them the opportunity to keep learning, moving forward, and taste some of that new gear.
See, that's a technology CEO recognizing the employee as a customer. That right there might tell all of our success. And you got an employee and a customer. They're all the one. And it's Neil. Neil, welcome today.
Thank you.
Now, you've head up IT, but I want to make sure the listener understands that is more than, and it's a job in itself, just the internal IT.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's a big job. Mm-hmm. You have a gigantic job in being head of field IT with all these multiple clients, keeping them happy. How do you do that?
Well, I think the key thing with keeping the clients happy has always been our focus on the client themselves and their business. And that is kind of what made us different and what I've promoted for a long time is I ask our engineers to sit down and speak with the end user one-on-one, find out how they work on a day-to-day basis, how they conduct their business. And when the client hears that and hears that those questions from you and perceives you as more of a partner than some kind of an adversarial, you know, this is traditionally in IT, it's the IT guy almost wants to push an agenda upon the end user, and we are more focused on how do you do your work, how do you do your day-to-day business, and how can we help you to improve your efficiency and get your job so you can go home earlier than we do.
Boy, this, all you listeners out there, this is how you stay in business for 31 years and be as fresh as InterDev is, because I get a fresh feeling when I deal with InterDev, and it is very enlightening. And so you're an assimilation of cultures, and you got to assimilate a lot of different cultures together.
Absolutely. One of the things that I preach to all of our engineers is that never to treat or speak down to your end user.
Or like this right here. Hit the F2 key.
Exactly.
Enter.
You know,
you kind of hear it in the voice, you know, that it's customer kind of says, I feel kind of dumb right now.
Right. And, you know, there was I've even played back the videos from the SNL, my IT guy, you know, move, get out of the way, I'll get in here.
I still love all this stuff. I mean, you know, IT will always be in my blood. That is great. The move, yes. So they did. It even did the handwriting.
You know? He's got it down.
We that is one of the things that we've kind of done differently that I think has that is differentiated also as well is when I go to interview a potential new client, I also ask what their outside interests are. And what I'm looking for is a broad spectrum. Many of our guys.
Smart.
Right.
You know, savvy. You're a little rascal. You know all the good stuff. That is great. Now, you know, Gary, one of the things about even the frontline technical employees who are my heroes are the frontline technical employees. They are awfully smart. I mean, you know, many times they look up at the C-suite going, these guys don't know hardly anything. And they are just literally high IQs, okay? I mean, and how do you keep them motivated? These are knowledge, like you said, they suck up knowledge and they're curious and they're awfully smart.
We just have to keep providing new and fresh opportunity. That's what they're so eager for and what keeps them happy. And it's what makes a day go by. If we had to solve printing problems all day long, we would not be very happy campers. It's about what's that new version of that operating system, that new collaboration software that's come out. How do I install that? And when am I going to get a chance to put one of those in? That's usually the challenge we have is finding that new thing and then trying to share that knowledge around the company.
Isn't that amazing? They want to jump right in, and many time employees are the last to want to change, but not when it comes to knowledge and the IT folks. Well, let me ask you this. Security I've done some research on your company, and security has been a big driver of your growth. How do you go to become a leader in security now?
Well, it's huge. We've always recognized that we want to be in technology and communications. That's driven us for decades. And what we've come to realize is, as we started this business before the PC, we went through a PC era, a Novell networking era, a Microsoft networking era, and then the internet era. And the era that I think we're in right now is a security era. And that's where all of our challenges lie. We've got great techs that know how to install systems, engineers that can design fantastic systems. But when it comes down to our biggest challenge today, it's keeping the bad guys out while still letting the good guys get their work done. And that is really what will carry us through the next decade or two moving forward is security on top of the networking that we're already doing very well.
I see. What is the next big, if security has been the driver of growth, what is going to be your next driver of growth? What's on the horizon out there for the IT world in corporate computing? And is there another big driver going on right now? Is social media, has that affected you any?
Well, you hear cloud all the time. You know, what is cloud? And as much as what is voice over IP? Well, it's a lot of things. It's everything from Vonage at home up through large multinational corporations talking from continent to continent. And the same is true with cloud computing in that security is a major focus there. It's a major drive. You continue to hear cloud in the news all the time, but it basically is running your applications, your software in data centers typically not owned by you or using software as a service. A lot of people are concerned about the security of that when they hand over their data, and that is really one of the lesser security concerns that we have as a company. Because a lot of times cloud computing can be as secure as having on-premise systems. So we focus mostly on those on-premise systems that are tougher to protect and getting in there and providing defense in depth, where it's not just the perimeter security, but it's the security once inside, how to, once again, keep the bad guys out, but then how to detect if they do get in, and if they do get in, how to keep them from taking anything out.
Let me ask you something. I'll ask both of you this. What size of company do I need to be concerned about security? Where does it become where I should be concerned? Is that for the bigger guys? Is that for if I'm 100 employees? What do you think should be my range on?
It's now every client. It's anyone who's dealing with anybody else's personal data. I mean, from the just recently, YMCA back in November was simply broken into. PCs were stolen. On one of those PCs held credit card information, and now that, even though it's just one, even though YMCA is a large corporation in itself, but it was a simple gym that was broken into. I think it was 5-6 PCs were taken. One of them happened to be the one key PC And so when you look at a small company and you're taking credit card numbers, or maybe you have personal data, maybe you're an investment, a person who's holding investment information, and you may be just the sole proprietor. You may be the only person, but you've got names, addresses, social security numbers potentially, bank account numbers.
Well, that's a big market. Where do you all, what's your sweet spot, so to speak? Where do you all fit in, Gary, to say, this is the customer? We can serve a lot of customers well, but where we knock it out of the park, whether it's security or help desk or whatever, where do we really serve well?
We've really got three sweet spots that we hit. One is in the outsourced IT, where they call on us as needed, and that's in the 50 to 100 user. Big enough to sort of need a network administrator, but not big enough to necessarily have their full-time administrator on. That serves our small clients that we have, and we've done that very well for many, many years. And what we've done is grow that into managed IT services, and that takes us in that 50 to 500 type environment as well, where we're doing custom application development, managed IT systems, managed IT security as well. And that has a much broader range, but we've hit some sweet spots at the 100 and again at the 300 to 500 mark. Basically, as a company, we are migrating from small, medium business accounts into small, medium enterprise accounts. We've also seen a lot of growth in the past couple of years in the municipal market. We found a particular sweet spot there for managed IT services as an outsourced solution for municipalities.
Oh, is that right? On the municipalities. Can you tell us some of the municipalities you have, or is that confidential information? We don't want to break security.
That's okay. We can talk about clients. We can talk about wins. We never talk about security breaches. We keep those down to
sure. But what about wins? How about some wins you've had?
Absolute wins have been the city of Sandy Springs. Have been a phenomenal account for us. As some of the listeners may be aware, they incorporated back in 2005. It's basically separating off from the Fulton County. And there are many drivers to that, but from the IT side, we're looking for very, very strong security.
So you got the Sandy Springs account, huh?
That is correct. We picked that up in the summer of 2011, and that's a multi-year contract.
I was just talking to Chip Collins on the way over here.
Yes.
He on the city council?
Yeah, absolutely. Great guy.
He is a good guy. I was just pulling in the garage here, and he and I were talking about some things, our common friend Mr. King, but that we won't dare go near that. But but you know, this is really good. This is worth having the whole radio show on, to know that Sandy Springs is smart enough to hire InterDev. You know, I mean, quite frankly, that's a big congratulations to you all, but also to Sandy Springs. Most cities hire the worst IT companies in the world. I mean, it's always about politics, and it's, you know, who goes on the golf course and all that good stuff. This is such a big win for you all. I am so proud of you.
They are phenomenal. They are like no other government entity I've ever run into. And we do a lot of state and local government, have done so through our entire career in the company. But that company, from top to bottom, especially with their city manager, John McDonough, runs a very, very tight ship. He's a Marine colonel in the reserves, and he just is an incredibly smartly run city. And there are great expectations of the direct employees from the city, and that carries on down to the contractors working as well. There's probably only five or so management employees, and then you have police and fire, but all other departments are outsourced.
It's a good strategy. It's a good strategy for the city. Okay, what about brand positioning? So you get into your sweet spot, you start talking about where are you on the brand chart, and we actually had this at the last EA symposium, because, you know, you don't want to be the Red Roof Inn going after Ritz-Carlton customers. You know, the Red Roof Inn is not going to win many of those, and vice versa. To the Ritz-Carlton, no need to spend money on trying to get a Red Roofer in. Both of them, by the way, are great companies. I respect both of them. But so if you look at your brand chart, I'm looking at your brand chart here, and InterDev is about, now you're competing on price here.
Well, I did this one. We hadn't discussed with you beforehand, but this is where we feel that we are currently. We need to shift to the right. We have fantastic service we're providing at a very value-based price proposition here. We need to move to the right on the price. That's what my employees keep telling me. But, like, we had a price increase 10 years ago. Why don't we need another one? We need to move further to right in price. However, it's a very tough market out there right now. We're more concerned about growth in the right areas and adding on security. So from the managed IT perspective, I think we are absolutely top-notch out there. We're providing great value. We probably should raise our prices.
This is why the frugal city of Sandy Springs hired you. A great account, but they're known for their frugality over there.
Well,
but they recognize value. See, if I look at this chart right here, I see value in your highly skilled workers for the price. So you're value driven.
Right. Well, we have been. We continue to. The quality is already fantastic, but we continue to hire better and better and better, and so our quality keeps going up. It's time for us to move a little to the right and get a little more into the higher price market. As you can see, we're competing against some other vendors out there, such as at the higher price level would be like a Dell SecureWorks or IBM Express. We feel that we definitely are above the quality level of our competitors, while our local competitors, such as us, providing managed IT services, yet providing a value price. We probably should raise prices in that area.
What about security? Where do you stand on security?
And that's the other chart, is that our security is already very good, but we keep hiring more and more and put more and more focus on it. Security is really our differentiator between us and a lot of the other managed IT services providers out there. It goes way beyond just keeping the network up. It's all about the security of it, and we're leaps and bounds ahead of the competitors in that area. We hire Georgia Tech grads and master's degree in information security, and that's our typical standard for what we're looking for in security.
So had you done this before the EAA meeting last time? It looks like you've already been working on this. So was this driven by our EAA meeting where we looked at the different brands?
There's been thought put into it, but the EA was a great impetus for us to put this down on paper and start talking about it internally. And that's a great thing about EA, is it takes these things kind of running around your head a little bit, and you see somebody else do it to a much greater scale, and you say, oh, wow, let's focus on this. Let's get a conversation going in the company on that. And so we've brought this up with our marketing person as well. And our challenge that we're doing out there is to be known as the top-notch in security, in as much as we're known as top-notch for managed IT services.
Sure, yeah. You know, the EA leaders like Gary, who are CEOs of companies, are encouraging me more and more to do this educational content-driven in EA, and I absolutely love doing it. And I see, you know, what's also important is all of our employees understand where we are. Many times CEOs kind of understand where we are, but when the employees start understanding where we are, it helps them understand the position of the company. So what do you think about that?
Well, one of the things I've always pushed as the director of IT, I've always pushed, not only we talked about sitting down with the client, knowing how they work and how to do their business, but also look at it from a business perspective. One of my favorite stories is that how we got one of our clients walked into an issue. The mail server was down, had been down for a couple days. He had an on-site tech. The on-site tech banged his head away against the wall and finally calls us in. And I said, and I took 3 minutes and said, you know, this is a Microsoft issue. I'm going to spend the $245 to call Microsoft. He turned to his employee and said, why didn't you do that? He said, well, I wanted to save $245. And I tell that story because the first thing he turned around and goes, I have 50 people here not working. That's costing me thousands of dollars. I'm not worried about $245. And so I tell that story to our techs and say, you have to start thinking in terms of business oriented. And how it's impacting their business. What is your job? How is it impacting their business? And think in terms of their dollars and make those decisions. And I think that's another thing that differentiates us. We're not just going in there to fix a mouse or fix a printer. We're looking at the business as a whole as an entity and what we can do as consultants to improve their business and make them more money. They're happy, we're happy.
Called business impact.
Business impact.
That's the big thing. Hey, folks, this is unbelievable. I talk to a lot of IT companies, and InterDev is really bringing out IT as a business here. And so many times it is about solving the technical problem, what really excites people. But I see what excites you is helping people sell more cars or run the government more efficiently. Is that right?
Absolutely. And stay in business. You know, one of the things that we come in and why we're maybe a little to the lower cost is, I've been preaching this for a while with our managed services, is that we're not going to save you money over hiring one person. But when you hire InterDev, you hire 20 people to back that one person up. Not one person is going to have all of the knowledge to do everything that we can do with 20 people's worth of knowledge. And the thing that comes, we bring an enterprise thought to some of these small business companies where they didn't realize that utilizing some technology that's well within their price budget, they can start thinking with enterprise thoughts in terms that they wouldn't have thought of 10 years ago. High availability, virtualization, technologies that keep the business afloat at all times. That's when I come in with my managed services, and they're comparing me to the standard individual that they're going to hire. I say, yes, but I've taken these companies, and now they have a high availability solution, something that you wouldn't have even dreamed of doing. And most of your 24-year-old techs that are coming out of Geek Squad or what have you are not going to be thinking that enterprise mentality. That's our job. We're the CIO for you.
Wow, Gary, that could sell all day long. It's just like the music to my ears here. What about Dell SecureWorks? So they're out there doing managed services now? I thought they were only security.
No, they're very much. Dell has obviously grown from humble beginnings to a gigantic global competitor in the hardware market. And as they see a further and further squeeze on hardware margins, they're getting into services. And so they provide managed services with the acquisition of several companies, and through their acquisition of SecureWorks, a previously local Atlanta-based company, added on security to it. So it's one of the confirmations that we see that we believe we're headed in the right direction for adding on security. It's a major, major focus. We've had it. We just haven't really been marketing it as such, and now there's a concerted effort for us to keep adding on staff with high level of expertise in that area.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question for all of our entrepreneurs out there, a great point. When do you add on a brand extension, or when do you add on a product service extension, and when is it productive, and when is the distraction? You know, entrepreneurs are very prone to getting off track and chasing things, and one of the things we have to do is learn how to just kind of stick to our knitting, if you will. But sometimes there's different colors of knitting that we want, and security is obviously one that's not a distraction. It's a driver. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. It's where the growth area is. It's where the true expertise, and that's really a lot of times what delineates us from the other guys out there, is the depth, the level of expertise that we have in a particular area. And in security, it is probably the field that is the most important in, because a screw up is a big screw
big,
up.
Big screw up. What give me a you know, we all this is very positive, and all of your customers see you as an extension of them. What is something you've done wrong? Is there anything you've done wrong? distraction.
Gary, you want to talk about distractions?
Actually, the things that I've done wrong actually go back quite a few years. I know that I've lost two accounts in 31 years, and I deserved both of them. And one of them was just follow-up. We were doing some
two back in 31 years. Wow.
Back when we were doing coaxial cabling before Ethernet, They were doing that and just had some trouble with it, and I should have done more follow-up, and the problem kept appearing, and I lost a significant count.
One every 16 years. We'll give you one every 16 years, right?
That was
you're going to have six. What about, didn't you do something with Clear way back when?
Oh, yes.
That's
yes,
what I was going to talk about.
Clear, as one of the guys in the company will tell me, I like to chase that shiny thing. I'm like all the other techs. I love to touch the new technology stuff. And as I had mentioned, we're about technology and communications. So this thing came along called 4G. Been waiting on it, been reading about it for years. And suddenly we were getting calls from a company saying, we'd like you to, and it kept coming to me through the switchboard, acting like they were wanting us to sell. I can't remember what it was, but it was just not for us. We weren't interested in selling cell phones. And then when it finally came through that we'd like you to carry our 4G wireless product, it's like, wow, yes, let's talk about that. We're talking about going from ancient slow 56 kilobit to 1.5 meg type speeds through. 4 to potentially 12 megabits per second. We're going to try to stay off the geek speak here, but fast wireless internet connection at a reasonable price. So we jumped on that. We got out of our element in some areas in that we suddenly were dealing with a retail customer, not a business to business, but business to consumer. That was a mistake for us. We weren't particularly well suited for that. There were some things about the Clear model that had everybody and their brother outselling Clear. That was a problem for us to try to compete with that, and no one was being successful with that. That led us into the one company that was seemingly being successful with it, was doing essentially a multi-level marketing based around Clear. And no matter how you slice it, that's pretty much what it was, MLM. And so we tried that model. That was not good. And so we finally got out of that. I remember we were having a conversation probably about a year and a half ago about that, and I was telling you I was getting out of it, and you were saying, do a clean cut. Don't just get out of it slowly, go for it or not. And I went a little slow on that, and I should have followed your advice on that and run.
Well, Clear was a compelling message. And it's interesting. Full disclosure here, I did some work with Clear, and they came to me for some consulting. And you know what Clear didn't do? I mean, Clear thought you could go out and advertise a lot and put up billboards and everybody's going to love you. And that's never worked, never will work. I mean, they didn't build any brand loyalty. I kept telling them, you got to have some success stories. You got to have some evangelist. And it was probably an opportunity missed. I understand why you went through it. They probably missed an opportunity.
It was a good product. Yeah. It performed really quite well. It had a few challenges out there, but if you were close enough to a tower, you got great speed. It did take us way off of our base. I allowed it to take us way off our base, even so far as opening a retail mall store in another state trying to make Clear go. And that coming from a tech guy, that was a bit of a stretch. That lasted through one Christmas season, and then we decided that wasn't going to work.
I remember I had a client came to us, and we had only probably the largest contract we had won at the time was maybe was $500,000 or $600,000 a year, and we had 100, we had 100 or so people, but we were still young. But he came to me and said, "You all have done such a great job. I've got a $2.2 million router contract. I want to give this to you all versus this big company." I went back, and all my technicians said, "Oh, we can't do this. We don't know how to do this." And I'm going, "We're going to learn. We'll figure it out. I got $2.2 million here, and I can't believe it." Oh, my gosh. Did I dig out of that hole? It took me months and months to finally dig out, transfer it over to somebody who knew what they were doing, got us off base. But, there's valuable lessons in those experiences, too, that was a valuable lesson for me. Is Clear still here in Atlanta? I guess they still got the retail?
They still are still selling, and we had seen them as having a two-year run before LTE came about. And that's what all the other guys are rolling out now and calling it their 4G product. And that's about what happened. They had about a two-year run, and now all the other stuff is better, faster. What we were hoping and we were hearing from the company at the time was that, by the time that gets there, ours will be even better.
Gary, let me ask you this. After 31 years, what's in the future for InterDev? How do you see the next 5 years? Is your best 5 years ahead of you?
Always.
Always. There
the
you
only
go.
The only easy day was yesterday. But our best five are coming because we're so well positioned to be working managed security. It's all about managed IT services with a security focus, and we're moving towards managed security. That's just the huge challenge out there, not just for the individual, the home user, the small business, the medium business. The bigger you get, the bigger your problem, the bigger the bigger losses that are at stake. And to beyond that, I hate to get too seemingly patriotic here on you, but it's a national security concern, whether it be other nation states trying to bring down our economy by introducing a poison pill in our system that ends up wiping out all the servers. I don't want to get over melodramatic on it, but this stuff is possible. And I see it as our mission to be able to block this kind of stuff from coming in.
Oh, outstanding. Well said. What do you see as keeps you motivated to, I mean, let's get straight here. With your skill set, you're highly employable.
Yes. Yeah.
And
well, I hope so.
You're highly employable. What keeps you excited and motivated to coming to InterDev and serving their customers every day?
I think what keeps me excited is the constant upward growth. The thing that keeps me excited right now is that more and more clients are seeing the vision that we saw 3, 4, 5 years ago, that this idea of having for the cost of one person having having a large database of knowledge with the people that we have on staff. And that's why I think that the next 5 years are going to be even better than the past 5 years, is because people are seeing that vision. They're starting to grasp hold that IT is more than just the whiz bang. It's more than just the flashing light or the cool thing. It's what keeps them in business, what drives their business, and they've become dependent upon that. And we need that. We need those services. We need that wide variety.
And I want our listeners and our potential customers of InterDev to get a strong role of what Neil's been saying. I cannot get him off message. He keeps going back till it's all about your business and making you successful. No matter how I ask the question, you know, Neil comes back to, we're here to make them successful and make them sell more pots and pans and
absolutely
make them more efficient. And that's absolutely amazing. No matter how I ask him the question, he is on message.
He's the real deal. That's how he runs it out there with the customers. Love him. I love him. He's been with us 14 years now.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
It's just I never get a complaint in saying, send me somebody else.
He
does a fantastic job with us.
Really gifted. You're really a gifted leader. I'm here to tell you. Okay, now tell us about, Gary, tell us about hacking. What is the heck going on out there in people hacking?
To me, that is really the story of 2011. It is just what is going on in the world out there, that hacking has gone from being about street cred or street credentials, bragging rights, if you will, about being able to get into a system. And, of course, we need to understand the definition of hacking. It doesn't necessarily mean stealing something. It means taking a system and making it do something other than what it was intended to do, whether it's a PlayStation or a server. And it's just grown from being about street credentials to being money-driven. The Russian business mafia out there, the Russian mafia, essentially, it's about the money. It's not about bragging rights, breaking your system. It's about grabbing the credit cards and being able to sell those credit cards. It's also grown in 2011. It's grown into political and known as hacktivism, and you've got WikiLeaks and Anonymous breaking into systems, exposing. And as such, it's grown from being political to being dangerous when they start getting into public safety systems. The Arizona Department of Public Safety had their systems breached and exposes the officers, undercover officers, their informants, their home address, their wife's cell phone. It's just dangerous stuff getting out there that will lead to loss of life. And even with Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, where they grabbed all this stuff, they put it on the internet, password protected it so you couldn't get to it, encrypted it essentially. But they went to a reporter, let him look at it, and said, here's the password. You've got 2 days to look at it. The password won't work after that. Then so the guy writes a book about it, doesn't expose everything, and of course WikiLeaks released a lot of stuff, but they redacted a lot of information there. So the guy writes a book, publishes the password in the book, but it was not true that the password would expire in 2 days. So now the entire file is exposed out there through a quote-unquote honest mistake, but nonetheless very dangerous. We got national security embassy cables out there, very, very dangerous stuff out there.
You know, that's very real, and I tell you something that happened to an EA member who's the CEO of a company here in town. Someone got into their system and stole all their proposals. You know, can you believe that? You know, this is not exactly, you know, goes to the level of you know, terrorists coming into the country, which obviously is very dangerous. But for that business, for your competitors to know how you answer and, you know, how your structure is, that's deadly for a local a business. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. We've had accounts that have had breaches that we hear about, we know about. We're out there to protect, and it can take a small business and put them out of business overnight.
One of the things when it comes to the hacking and why it's so prevalent now, is that it's the old adage: it's follow the money. As early as I was reading in E Week back in July of 2001, they were talking about these former KGB operatives that were trained. These were trained professionals to hack national security assets. Well, Soviet Union collapsed. They were out of work. And they realized very quickly, I could establish a hacking company to go after private networks. And it comes back to one basic value: follow the money. And if there's money in it, there's going to be someone who's going to take the time to train themselves, to become educated, to become professional criminals. And right now, the largest criminal network is the Russian Business Network, as quoted in CNN Money in July of 2011. You know, their quote: former spies grouped together to form the Russian Business Network. The other quote was, and this is so key to me and why it's so important, is where hacktivists lack patience and most fraudsters lack skill, organized crime syndicates like the RBN, Russian Business Network, possess the necessary tools to hack just about any target they set their sights upon. And again, it's money. And once money's involved and you're talking about people who, especially if they're disenfranchised, such as these KGB officers, they're disenfranchised. They're now thinking, I've lost my job, my country's gone, I had this patriotism, my services are up for sale. And you can now Google, and there are sites that you can go to hire hackers get money.
That is, we almost have a docudrama here. This is the most exciting show I've had yet. The way to counterbalance them and to beat them is to hire companies like InterDev, whether you are 50 employees or 500 or 5,000. InterDev, I see it as an investment. And maybe, Gary, you can tell the folks how they can contact you if they are interested in your services.
Sure. Feel free to call anyone in the company. I'm always there to take the phone call personally. Our web address is www.interdev.com. That's I-N-T-E-R-D-E-V, as in internet and development.com. Mm-hmm. The phone number is 770-643-4400.
Okay, very good. This has been a great show, and it shows the impact that companies like InterDev have on the local, regional, and national business community. And I really appreciate you all coming by here. And Gary, you walked the walk. I mean, of all the people you could have brought today, you brought a very gifted leader here. So we appreciate you bringing Neil. Neil, you did a great job. I hope more CEOs follow your lead on that when I ask them to bring somebody, to bring someone of the value of Neil.
I brought Neil in particular, being radio. He has a background in community theater, so I figured he's well more animated than myself.
Wow.
I figured we'd come across the mic. But he is pretty much indicative of the type of employee that we'd hire. We do not hire the propeller head techs that just drive you nuts, even though if they know their stuff. They're not successful in our company in doing the job because they can't please the customer. So
that
we
business
have
that business impact thing.
Right. Absolutely.
I remember I was heading up IT at UPS, and we had to have all the tracking numbers loaded up that day and age a long time ago. But by 7:30, and I, you know, the CEO called me just screaming in the phone, "Why didn't your region upload your tracking numbers?" And I said, "Well, let me go check." I said, "They hadn't called me? I don't know." So I went down to the IT support center and said, and I had this great employee over there just working on it as hard as he could be. And I go, why didn't we load up our tracking numbers? And he says, I'm working on it. I'm trying to solve the problem. And I said, but, you know, Eric, we could have uploaded them 10 different ways, more than the way you're doing it. That's just one way. And see, he didn't think about the business impact. The real thing, real reason we were there was to upload tracking numbers, not to fix problems.
That's exactly right. So, and that's why I tell people all the time.
I knew that was going to make Neil excited.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of silly. I tell my techs all the time, if you have a computer and you have to sit down and think, if this computer is going to take 5 hours for you to fix, well, by the time they pay your services, you could bought them a new computer, and they would have a faster, better computer. Think in terms of business acumen and say, what's the best value for the client? Not so much as the challenge of putting the product in there. What is it that the client's going to get back out of this?
That's a cultural thing that InterDev has. That has to start from the top, and then it pervades throughout the entire company. Otherwise, the techies will win. They will propel. But we're glad to have you all here today, and we thank Trevor, our great engineer, for being here with us. Did a great job, Trevor. And Gary, we appreciate InterDev being part of EA. It's our job to continue to deliver value, just as we hope we're doing today and as we've done in the past. So thanks for your leadership. And listeners, see us next Monday at 1 p.m. Thank you very much.